Welcome to episode 102 of the Family Podcast Network. Boom, baby!
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. The date today is May the 23rd, 2012. It is Wednesday, middle of the week, hump day. We're getting almost through the rest of this week. Boy, it's going by fast. Topic for today is going to be a replay of episode 11, Kids as Our Mirrors. Before we get into why we're going to be doing that, let's go through some quick housekeeping, guys, to get free updates and free information. Enter your name and email on the right side over here. Guys, I want you to know I never spam what I do. As a matter of fact, by the time you be listening to this, I will have already sent out a broadcast to the folks who have signed up for this email notification. They're going to be getting information that many of you are not going to be able to see if you're just visiting the website. It's some new stuff that I've put out on YouTube that you guys are going to want to check out. It's a new series we're going to be doing called Trey's Tidbits, the short soundbite for families on the go. For you families that just, you'll want to get the essence of every podcast, but you don't have time to listen to the full Big Daddy, but you can afford to listen to maybe 5 minutes while you're sitting down on your iPad or at your computer, or even just in the morning before you start your day, before you get started on your work. Quick 5 minute synopsis of what we do. We're going to be doing it that way. A great suggestion by my good friend, Bill Dwight over at FamZoo.com, made a suggestion about that this week, and I thought it was so good. I pulled the trigger on it as fast as I could. So we've got that set up for you guys. Also, guys, consider sharing this on Facebook, Twitter. Now you guys can also go check out YouTube. I started out being real heavy in the YouTube presence. I backed up a little bit when I moved to when I moved back away from video podcasts. So now I'm back. I'm going to be kicking out YouTube stuff over there. It's going to be very distinctly different from what we're talking about here. You're definitely going to want to go check us out. So don't forget to check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and for my RSS feed. You can see those on the far right side bar. You may have to scroll down just a little bit to see those, but I've got those set up for your convenience to be able to find me on those places. Guys, also don't forget, we've got some new pages up that you guys are definitely going to want to check out, and you need to go check out the Trey's Tidbit segments over at YouTube. They're going to be awesome. Awesome. You want to do me a big favor? Drop by and leave a comment. What do you think? Help me drown out all the people that are going to say the mean and hurtful and crappy things on YouTube, because that's what they do. I need your comment over there. With all that said, guys, we're going to jump into our topic for today. Today we're going to go over a little bit of a recap of something that we went over on episode 11, which the reason I picked this one is because it is one of the most popular of my episodes that I've ever had. I've gotten the most hits off of this, off of most other ones, and so I wanted to go back over it in part because I want to get that information back out there. A lot of the new listeners have not gone back and started at episode one, and so you don't necessarily know about some of the earlier episodes that I did and just how heavy-hitting they were. Now, when I say that, I don't mean to be arrogant. It's just some really good stuff, and I want you guys to be able to see that. So it is episode 11, Kids as Our Mirrors. It was recorded on November 2nd, 2011. And it was, again, it was our 11th episode. And here we are at 102 episodes later. Man, I just never thought it would make it to this. Pretty stinking cool. But you definitely want to go check that out. Again, it's Kids as Our Mirrors, episode 11. We're going to play that for you today. There's a secondary reason. I'm going to be honest with you guys. There's a secondary reason for why we're doing that. As you guys know, I've started a new job this week. I'm doing a lot of modification to my day and how I handle that day. By that, I mean up until the last few days, what I would do is I would basically go to sleep. You know, whenever my kids, I'd put my kids down to sleep. I'd go to bed, you know, I mean, they would go to bed, they would lay down, and then I would proceed to sit down and start working on my podcast stuff. Sometimes I'd be up till 1, sometimes if I was doing a lot of stuff, which I have been lately, I might be up till 3. Now, with a new job, I'm having to reset myself to be somewhere by 8 o'clock now in town, which is quite a ways away from here. I'm having to kind of change up a lot of my how we do's it now. And so it's been a little bit of an adjustment for me. It's been kind of hard. I've been staying up later. I think I'm getting some routine padded out over the last 2 days that's going to help make this a little bit easier for me. So I'm going to replay that, largely because I'm exhausted tonight, and I need to get some good rest. I was falling asleep at my computer today, and that's no bueno. I need to make sure I'm kicking out good performance with all that's going on there. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and play you guys episode 11. I appreciate y'all's graciousness. If you haven't heard this, trust me, it's going to blow your socks off. I'm probably going to do this with a few of them. So enjoy episode 11, Kids Is Our Mayors. Again, this was the Family Podcast Network, recorded November 2nd, 2011. Guys, feel free to leave any comments that you guys might have, and enjoy. Well, guys, let's get started today talking about kids as our mirrors. Up until this point, just about every single episode that we have done up until this date has been, it's kind of a series, is really what it is. It's basically the basics of parenting. Everything that we've done up until this point is just the basics of parenting. Now, I don't want to make it sound like what I'm talking about is simple parenting, because everything we've talked about is a pretty heavy-duty concept. It's fairly deep, and it's fairly comprehensive in what we're doing. So I want to make sure that I avoid like saying, this is all so simple. You know what? When you're changing old things that you've done and habits that you've learned over the last however many years of your life, sometimes it's not that easy, and I get it. But what we're going through is just the basics of parenting. Today, we're going to kind of take maybe like an access road. We're going to get off of the main highway for just a little bit today. They parallel each other. They go together. This reinforces pretty much everything we've talked about, but it's just a little bit of an aside, kind of taking one area a little deeper. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. I get so many parents sitting in my office that, I mean, you know, and for legitimate reasons, they are just lamenting. My kids are acting this way. My kids are acting that way. They're doing this. They're acting that way. And it's just driving them nuts. It's absolutely driving them on nuts. And here's what I find. The majority of parents, and guys, I'll raise my hand to having done this before as well, but guess what they do? They blame it on other people. It's the kids at school. It's the kid across the street. It's the music that they're listening to. It's the movies that they're watching. It's quote-unquote, you got to use the finger quotes, that friend that they have, right? It's the kids at daycare. It's the video games that they're watching. And guys, I get it. We want to believe that other folks are influencing our kids. We want to believe that there's other extraneous things, there's all these other things going on outside of our family that are influencing our kids. And we're going to talk about like that here in a little while and how sometimes that can be true. But you give me long enough with most families, and guess what I find? I want you to guess, who is it that is really influencing these kids to do these things? It's the parents themselves. Now, a lot of you guys out there might have just gotten really offended and upset. Hang tight with me, guys. Trust me, when I first bumped into this, I got slapped across the face. Not literally, but metaphorically. I got slapped across the face and went, really? But hang tight with me, guys. We're going to get this. Let me tell you guys a story. And really, guys, it's the story that really began me thinking about this. A while back, my daughter, she was littler at the time, Cora. She was my one-year-old, and she was probably anywhere from, you know, 9 to 12 months, and she was starting to toddle and move around. My son has just long, flowing locks of curly hair. Just we're talking classic California boy hair. And my littlest daughter got this really bad habit of walking up to Grant, and she would just reach up and grab this fistful of hair. And that hurt, and babies cannot do that. I don't care how little they are. We cannot let our little itty-bitties running around doing things that are painful like that and not have some repercussions. Now, I'm not saying you go spank them or you stick them in a corner when they're, you know, 1 or 2 years old. I'm not saying that. But there has to be some level of discipline. And Cora ran up, and she was going up to grab Grant's hair. And he started kind of waving his arms, and kind of like the classic, you know, waving off, like, get away. Kind of the get away, get away, get away. And again, I understand. I really didn't get fussy with him about it. And he was swinging his arms at her. I didn't like it very much. But, you know, I understood while he was doing it. Well, then all of a sudden, the fist started to roll up and ball up into fists. And the next thing I know, he was sitting there, like, swinging them kind of more, like, in a punchy fashion.
And so, I mean, this is something that we can't do. I mean, he can't be swinging. I don't ever want him getting in the habit of thinking it's okay to make punching motions at somebody when you don't like it. So, you know, I a little frustrated seeing him move to that because, I was a little embarrassed when I saw him doing that, you know. And I made a quick statement to him. Son, you need to stop that right now. And I tell you, as God is my witness, that little two-year-old boy, when I'm almost three sizes his height and probably five times his weight, that little two-year-old boy thrust his chest out, little sucker crossed his arms, and stuck out his chin in the most defiant look I have ever seen come out of my son's persona. Let me tell you, this little boy is so sweet. He is probably one of the sweetest little kids, the most attentive, nurturing, caring, just emotionally competent at the time, you know, 2 or 3 year old that I've ever seen in my life. And so for him to do this was just so shocking. And I remember, my first response, oh, heck no, little boy, that ain't gonna fly. I remember just getting so frustrated doing it. And then as I was getting ready just to finally let it fly and let him know that wasn't gonna be okay, I stopped myself and I thought about this. Because I've been thinking on this for probably about a month and a half at this point. And I stopped myself, and I looked down at my body and my body language. Guess what I was doing? I had my chest thrust out. I had my arms crossed, and my little chin was stuck out in this, oh, you ain't gonna do that to daddy for a pose. And I had to sit there and think. I was about to come unglued on my son for the very thing that I was teaching him to do. I want to go over that again. I was about to come unglued on my son for the very thing that I was teaching him to do at the same exact moment. And guys, I see parents doing this type of thing all of the time. I see parents that are telling their kids that it's not okay to do something. It's not okay to act a certain way. It's not okay to say a certain phrase. But in reality, guess who is teaching them to do that from the start? And there within creates just one of the cardinal dastardly no-nos of parenting. And it's whenever you create a double standard. When you say, it's okay for me to do something, but it's not okay for you to do something. There is a level of unfairness to that. And let me tell you, little kids are so huge on fairness. You got to remember that part of the brain that helps them think abstractly has not developed, or at least it hasn't developed well yet. And so kids are very black and white. They're very pragmatic. They're very, it's this way or it's this way. And when we tell a kid, it's this way for you, but it's a different way for me, it sets up, well, I'm telling you guys, as a parent and as a family, it's setting you up to fail. I always, 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 always recommend that everybody in the family has to follow the exact same freaking rules. Well, Trey, I'm an adult. I don't care. I do not care whether or not you're an adult and you can get away with it. If you're not following those rules in your family as a parent, I'm going to go as far to say this. More than likely, your kid isn't either. Maybe doing it in your presence. But given long enough, at the right ages, they'll just sneak it. They will just flat out sneak it. That's just kind of the way it is. So I recommend everybody in the family has to follow these rules. I worked with a family many, many years ago. And I remember they were having an issue with their kiddo. He was probably 12, 13 years old. And this young man had an issue to where he wanted to smoke at 13 years old. And I don't have a problem with smoking, guys. I don't think smoking's the devil. Anything done in moderation, anything done in temperance, I think can be done. But in this case, it was illegal. And the mom asked me. She goes, you know, what do you think I should do? She goes, you know, should I work on this? Should I tell him no? And I said, you know, that's a tough one. I said, do you smoke? And she looked at me. She said, well, yeah. And I said, the problem is going to be this. You can tell him not to smoke, and if you want to, you can take the approach of, you know what, the law says you can't, but we can. But the bottom line is, it's more than likely he's going to watch you guys, and he's going to do exactly what we want to do. I had a dad come to me a few years later, same problem, but with drinking. I mean, he was very open. The week they'd go out and get schnozzle-faced, you know, every weekend, he and his wife would. And he said, well, my son started doing it. And I couldn't believe he did it. And I looked at him, I said, why? Why did you have such a hard time believing that he'd do that? Well, it's illegal. I said, don't you do it? Yeah. He said, yeah, of course. So it's awful hard to tell a kid not to do something if you're just going to follow up and do it too. Now, I'm not hating on anybody that smokes, guys. Hear me say, I smoke a pipe. I have no problem with smoking tobacco. It's legal. Absolutely. I have no problems with that. But the bottom line is, if you're wanting your kid to not do it, you got to follow. You got to follow suit. You got to do it first. You got to lead the way, right? Have you ever seen those leaders? You know, I love studying warfare. And one of the most fascinating things I've ever seen is like reading in on some other countries, you know, during some dastardly times in warfare. For instance, like a lot of, in many cases, whenever the Russians were sent in, like in World War II, when they were sent into cities, what they would do is they would set a machine gun up and tell them if they didn't go in there and fight, then they would gun them down coming back. And you'd be amazed at how little progress they made by doing that. It became a slaughter fest. But whenever they finally could find one person who would step up and who would be willing to run into that fight first before anybody else and set that example, they found they were able to push and break through lines over and over and over because there was that person who was ready to lead by example. And good leadership, that's what it is right there. Guys, even as parents, we have to lead the way. We have to lead the way. Yet I see most parents wanting to be the armchair commanding parent, where they're wanting to tell their kid to go do things, but they don't want to get into the mix and start it themselves. We have got to lead the way if we want our kids to do it too. So more often than not, parents do this type of thing all the time. They tell their kid to do one thing, but they don't practice it themselves. How can we legitimately, now I know we can get mad, but how can we legitimately get mad at our kids if we're not willing to set the example for them first? Kids, this is fundamental nature with kids right here. Kids inherently mimic what we do. And yet, I hear so many parents that want to take the approach of, you're going to do what I say, just don't do what I do. That is, guys, listen to me so carefully right now. It is imperative that you understand that is an erroneous style, it will not work style of parenting that will fail. If you want your kid to do what you say, but you're not willing to get off your butt and do it first, it will not work. Do you get that? It's human nature, guys. One of the things that I'll do whenever I teach this class in person, and I'm going to have to try to explain it to you guys verbally, so bear with me as I try to go the kind of alliterating what it is that I do. But what I have them do is I tell folks, I say, okay, what I want you to do is do exactly what I tell you to do. And I say it just like that. I say, do exactly what I tell you to do with that same tone. I say, okay. So then what I do is I take my hands out and I say, okay, put your hand out beside you and put it at a 90-degree angle. And I do that. And I say, what I want you to do is, with your hand out at 90-degree angle, do exactly what I tell you to do. I want you to take your thumb and your pinky, and I show them thumb and pinky, and I want you to put them together and touch them together. And then I touch them together. And I say, now, doing exactly what I tell you to do, and I say it just like that, doing exactly what I tell you to do, I want you to take your hand and put it on your chin. But instead of putting it on my chin, I put it right on my upper cheekbone, almost on my temple. Guess what? Every single person, with the exception of maybe two people, guess what every single person does when I put my head, and I tell them, put it on your chin, and I'll say it, put it on your chin. I'll put it on my forehead. Guess where everybody's hand goes? Right to their temple. Just like me. And then I'll repeat, doing exactly what I tell you. Take your hand and put it on your chin. Put it on your chin. And I'll sit there and you'll repeat it 4, 5, 6 times before they'll finally go, oh, and they'll move their hand to their chin. And the lesson out of that is, it is human nature. We do not, as a human species, do what we are told. We do what we see. We do what we see. That is just human nature. It's inherent for kids, and you know what? It's inherent for adults in all reality as well. That is just what we do. We do what we see others do. And so if you adopt a perspective as a parent, that you're going to do what I tell you to do, but not what I say. It will not work on you. It will backfire. Guys, I want you to imagine. Let's just try to flip the perspective. You guys are probably like, Trey, why do you always use boss examples? You know, in reality, having somebody that has a direct authority over us, it's one of the best examples. It needs to be somebody that we're interacting with on a daily basis. Well, our parents might still have some of that authority, but maybe we don't see them all the time. Or maybe you don't have any, you know, you don't recognize any authority in your parents whatsoever. Whatever. But they're one of the few relationships we still have with people that we can really still stay connected on what it's like to be a kid. Remember, that's one of the biggest parts is being able to put ourselves in our kids' shoes. Kids that come from homes where we put ourselves in their shoes, they do better socially, they do better academically, and they're more emotionally stable. It's very important to learn how to empathize and put yourself back in your kids' shoes. It's been a long time for the most of us since we've been there. We've got to figure out how to get ourselves back. So I want you guys to imagine this. Imagine that you have a boss, right? And your boss comes in and you say, hey, is it okay if I use the company printer to print out some insurance documents for my car, right? Maybe you use your car in the business, but it's personal, but you're asking if you can use the printer. And that boss says, absolutely not, and then walks off. And then later asks you if you would go to the post office and take some mail and drop it off for the post office and get some postage for it, and you realize it's their personal Christmas cards that they're mailing out on their own personal, and they're wanting you to use the company money to pay for that. How are you going to feel with that? You know, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'm like, oh, this is crap, man. You know? I mean, I come unglued with that. I come unglued with that. Why is it that we can look at that and say that is absolutely unfair, but we don't do it when we do it with our kids? You know? Guys, it happens all the time in parenting. I teach this stuff for a living. If I'm not doing Family Podcast Network, I'm doing a minimum of one, but typically up to 4 to 5 of these a day, teaching these topics. And you want to know what? I go home, and I do this stuff too. Out of habit, mistake, whatever. I make the same mistakes. You know, it's a part of the human condition. It's a part of messing up. It's a part of what being a parent is that we're going to mess up at it, right? So like I always tell you guys, I don't believe a good parent is a conglomeration of how many good or bad mistakes we make. I mean, really? If good parent and bad parent was dependent on how many good choices we make, I mean, let's be honest. We're all screwed. I mean, let's just be honest, right? We're all not going to be able to make it on that. What I always tell parents is, what makes a good or bad parent is when they finally get to a point where they'll acknowledge and realize there's an issue, how serious are they about making change? And I think that's just what makes a good ethical person in general. Is when they recognize mistakes, how willing are they to change them? Or do they continue doing the same old thing over and over and over, fully knowing it's not what's supposed to happen? So guys, this type of thing happens in parenting all the time. You know, I can't tell you, just before I got to this job, at the last job I was at, one of the things that really stuck to me, it was really kind of the initial catalyst that kind of got me thinking about this, way before this thing with Grant and Cora had happened. But the last job I was at, I was sitting there, and there was a mom, and I remember that she was in my office, and we were talking, and she had a little kid, and I remember so starkly that she was just sitting there, and this little kid was just buzzing all around, and just getting into things, and getting into stuff he wasn't supposed to, and making noises, and boom, bang, and all this other stuff, and then he just started, going into the whiny stuff, and this mom, you could just tell her frustration level was getting higher, and anytime people are around me, their people are able to take amazingly, you know, long beatings from their kids. It seems whenever I'm around because they want to really impress me. And finally, she just lost it. And I remember, she didn't yell and then scream, but I also remember very vividly, she just looked at him, and we'll say that this little boy's name was Javen. She looked at him and she goes, Javen, stop whining! Now, you guys caught that, right? She just told the kid to stop whining by using the most whiniest voice she ever could. Now, I'm not hating on this particular lady for doing this. I'm not hating on her for that. Because you know what? I've done it before too, and I get it. And I get it. But it was the first time that I stopped and thought, wow, she is teaching this kid to do the very thing that she hates the most. And so, you know, I brought that up with her. Probably maybe 2 or 3 days later when she'd come back for her next visit the next week. And let me tell you, it did not go over well with it. She did not like the idea that I was suggesting that she had taught her kid how to whine. But you know, more often than not, there's truth to it. There's truth to it. And the truth behind it comes because the mentality is this. We will often unintentionally teach our kids to do these things that we hate, and then we get mad at them for it. Now, that's one of those ones I want to go over again. We will unintentionally teach our kids these things that we hate, and then we get mad at them for being that way. I mean, think about just how unfair that is for a person. Just as a quick aside, guys, please forgive if you heard the train in the background. The beautiful thing about owning your own business is that you can take it with you wherever you need. The downside is, as days like today, my wife is not feeling good, so I came home to help take care of kids and take care of her and whatnot. On days like today, whenever I have to do this from the comforts of my home, it can create a problem with stuff like that. So my apologies for that. So we'll unintentionally teach our kids these things, and then we get mad at them. And guys, I'm going to be honest with you. Out of all of the things that I've ever seen parents complain about or gripe about or get upset about, all that other stuff, I have yet, with almost 8 years of doing this, I have yet to see one family that what they were upset about what their kid was doing, me looking at it and saying, well, that's unfair. In almost all cases, what the parents are complaining about, I'm like, you know what, I get it. I think that's fair. I totally get that. The problem is that many, many, many of these parents, if not most, many of these parents are unwilling to admit or see, even in some cases just be, you know, even see that it's there, that they were the ones who's practicing it first. Now, I have to issue a disclaimer about this, guys. Some behaviors that we're going to see in our kids are absolutely influenced by outside of the family. Some behaviors, some words they're going to come home and say, some little belief that they're going to come up with, some little catchphrase that they're going to use around the house that you're not happy with, some of those phrases really are learned in other places. My problem with even admitting this out loud is, and I'll do it, and I give you that exception. The problem with that is that most parents use it as a way to exempt themselves from taking any form of examination of their lives and how they might have taught them. Oh, well, they just learned that somewhere else, right? As long as they can write it off as somebody else having taught them, then there's really no responsibility that needs to be taken. Let me tell you guys, that produces within a kid, because we're teaching that to them, that creates a victimized mindset that you do not want your kids dabbling in. It's never my fault. It's always somebody else's fault. Somebody else taught them that. Ownership of mistakes is one of the best freaking things you can ever do around your kids. Now, I don't like admitting when I'm wrong. And I don't know if that's because of the way I was raised, if that's my personality, if it's because I'm a man. I don't know. I don't like admitting when I'm wrong. But let me tell you, over the last 6, 7, 8 years, I have learned the values of going, I am wrong and I am sorry. And it's amazing how healing that is and how wonderful that is. And your kids need to hear you say, you know what, sweetie, I was wrong about that. I should not have grounded you for that. That was wrong. And I'm sorry that I did that. I should not have raised my voice at you the way that I did, sweet girl. That was wrong of daddy. And I'm sorry that I did that. It is a beautiful thing for your kids to hear you apologize and admit you were wrong. Because it teaches guess who to do the same thing. Remember, one of my phrases is, who's watching us to learn everything they're going to do in life? And if your kid sees you admit to a mistake, they are much more likely to do the same thing themselves. Because what they've learned is that's just what you do. Very, very, very important. So what I want you guys to do is, now understanding that is some behaviors they really do pick up out of there. In most cases, those behaviors that they pick up outside of the family, if you'll just sit down and talk with them and address it with them and say, sweetie, that is not okay. Buddy, that is not all right to say. It is not okay to do these things. When you just sit down and talk to them and tell them why, it's not okay to do these things because of this reason. In most cases, guess what they do? They disappear. They just typically, we hadn't taken a chance to talk to them. Now we've talked to them. Now they know. And they'll often just disappear. However, that's not what we're talking about today. What I'm referring to in these cases is, what about those pesky little behaviors, those pesky little things that they do, that no matter how many times we address them, they seem to come back? if you've got something that's been something that you've addressed with them, and it came back, and you've addressed with them, and it comes back, if you have something like that that your kid is doing, you definitely need to take a look at where it is that your kid might be learning that from you. I'm going to give you guys a little bit of an example that for me was kind of one of those, just kind of a fresh smack to the face. It was like, wow. Whoops. The other day, one of the sweet kiddos from across the street had gone trick-or-treating, and she came over and brought us a whole bunch of candy, even some candy for my wife and I. She brought over some dots. You know, little chewy dots that look like little domes, you know, and you chew them up and whatnot. And I should have known better when I realized that during Halloween, I was looking at a set of dots that were from Easter. They were Easter-branded dots, and they were giving them out for Christmas. I should have known better. So I open up this box of dots, and I pop one of those in my mouth. Let me tell you, this stuff was one of two things. One, it was construction material that was primarily, you know, molecularly based in super glue, or else it was like Superman boogers or something. Let me tell you, this sucker was so flipping chew. And I'm telling you, I chewed on that sucker, and man, I was like, I was ready to get out like a dentist drill to start drilling this stuff out of my teeth, right? So I'm like, man, you know, I'm not eating the rest of these. I set the box to the side of the table, my bedside. I think I'll throw it away tomorrow. And I go to bed that night, and I wake up the next morning, I go to work, I forget about the box of dots. So I got home, I got up yesterday morning, and I walked in, and many of you guys have heard the donut story, and so we had that issue of the sneaking the donut. If you haven't heard that, listen to episode 10 of the Family Podcast Network, and listen to the story we talk about in there. And I get these dots, and I lift up the box, and I go to throw all these dots away. Well, guess what? Box is completely empty. Now, I know my wife, and she does not like dots to begin with. And second off, she knew that they were nasty because I told her that they were. So I thought there's no way she would eat this. So I'm like, So unless our dog Pluto managed to grow an opposable thumb, get this box, dump him in his mouth, put it back on there, and then his opposable thumb disappeared, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking a kid got these, right? So I walk into the room carrying the box of dots. And I walk in and I lift this box of dots up, and immediately I see my daughter's eyes go glassy a little bit. just that glazed look of, oh, crap. And so I know right at the moment that I see her face what's going on. But we always like to give our kids the opportunity to be truthful, because anytime our kids tell the truth about something, we try to find any way to not have to do some form of discipline, spanking, whatever else. But I sit there and I say, does anybody know why this is empty? And she starts shaking her head, right? So now she's beginning to be sneaky. But I can see her eyes tearing up, and I'm like, I know my daughter. I know that she nom-nommed on these things while I wasn't paying attention, right? So I stop for a second. I give her that very stern look. I say, sweetie, are you lying to me, baby? Because truthfulness will get you out of this situation. And she stops for a second, and she goes, yes, Dad. Yes. I ate them. So we sit down. We have a talk. I decide to do a privilege loss. She lost her privilege for eating. We do, like, get one little small, you know, bite-sized candy bar for either lunch or dinner, and they can pick whichever one they wanted at. And we decided we were going to lose our privileges. And I stopped, and I was writing the notes for this, honestly, guys, earlier today. I was writing the notes, the outline for the podcast today. And I stopped, and I thought, you know what? That's been a pesky behavior for me. What am I doing to teach my kids that that's okay? So I began, and that was a total shock to me to even begin to think that I was teaching my daughter to be sneaky with food. So I began to kind of run through all the list of stuff, and I figured it out. I mean, the minute that I thought of it, it was just like slap across the face. I realized that what I'll often do is I'll go grab one of those candies, and my kids will walk in, and one of the first questions out of their mouth, you know what it is, what you got, Dad? What is that? What is that? Can you tell me what that is? Well, my mindset goes, well, I don't want to tell them what this is, because then if I tell them, I say, well, can I have one? And then if I tell them, no, they can't have one, well, then it comes down to, well, why do you get one, Daddy, and why do I not? And then it goes in this long, and so I just want to get into that. So what I would do is I would turn and kind of hide it between them. Well, my daughter and my son, and really, my littlest daughter, they're no fools. I mean, they're not idiots. They're super freaking smart kids. And they know what's going on. They know what I'm doing. But what are they seeing? Daddy's got candy, and he turns his back away from us, and he sneaks it in his mouth. Now, that was a shock to me when I realized that I was teaching my own daughter to be sneaky with food. Because that's a big thing. We advocate in our house, do not be sneaky. Don't be sneaky. Just ask us. And more than likely, we'll just say yes. But I was teaching my daughter to sneak food and then wanting to get really upset with her for doing it. So guys, the solutions. Well, you know, I always tell you guys, I don't like ending on problems. So let's talk about what are some of the solutions. What do we do to help counter this? Number one, if you have one of those pesky recurrent behaviors, and guys, remember, even if it's not pesky, even if it's just a one-time thing, more often than not, we can be teaching them those one-time things too. Just take ownership. We screw up as parents. We teach our kids dumb stuff. That is a part of being a human. What is part of what makes us better at it is that we acknowledge that we're doing it, we make a freaking change. So don't hide from it. You're not perfect. I'm going to bust your bubble right now, and I'm not even going to apologize for it. You are not a perfect parent. Now, more than likely, most of you guys are doing that, you know, that are aware of that. But if you think that you're a perfect parent, here's some news for you, buddy, sister, whatever. You're not a perfect parent. You're screwing up in some place, somehow, somewhere. I'm not saying you're a horrible parent. But what I'm saying is, we've got to take ownership for those areas. Because remember, we're also teaching our kids to do the same thing. So, take that pesky, recurrent behavior that you're seeing and stop and ask yourself, how am I teaching this to my kid? And think really hard. Think really hard. Ask your spouse, I think we may be teaching this. How is it? I was listening to this crazy guy to Trey Nate today, talking to the, you know, how, and ask your spouse, so how could we be teaching them? And think about it. And think about it. Take ownership for what's going on. Take ownership for what you're doing, because that's how changes occur. That is how changes occur. Guys, I'm not telling this to you to drag you down. I'm not telling this to make you feel bad. I'm not telling this to try to yank you down. What I am wanting you to do, I want you to evaluate where are these things coming from and then correct them in ourselves. In reality, if you will work on these things yourself, more than likely your kids will follow you by default because they're watching and they're just doing what you're doing. They're doing what you're telling them is normal. You might have to address it. If you've taught them it long enough that it's become a habit for them, you might have to explain to them why not to do these things and why it's not okay. But the bottom line is, start working on these things in yourself. The things that you're doing. If you notice that your kid is yelling at people when he gets really, really angry, take a look at it and see if you're doing the same thing. All of us get upset, and we're almost all told that you raise your voice when you get upset. Again, what makes a good or bad parent is when you become aware of that, are you making changes with it? Almost every one of us discipline our kid, and we look back and think, I shouldn't have done that. That was not that big a deal. I shouldn't have made a big deal about that. Just own up to that. Go tell your kid, I shouldn't have done that, and I'm sorry, sweetie. I shouldn't have let it get to that point, and I'm very sorry. And I always recommend, guys, then you say those words, I'll make sure that it doesn't happen again. Now, most parents don't like that. They don't ever want to say that they're not going to do something like that again. One of two reasons. Number one, they're lying out their butt. They're going to do it again, too. That's one of the number one things. You know, I do a lot of work at a place called, I probably can't say that out loud on the air, but I do work for a shelter here that houses women who have been battered and abused. And I'll tell you, I can't tell you how many of them. I'm going to say every one of them would get beat around by their husbands, and then they would tell them they were so sorry and they'd never do it again. Right? That's not what I'm talking about. What I mean is saying, I won't let that happen again. And then backing up your frickin' word. It's not enough just to say I won't do it again. I mean, you got to be willing to back it up. But many of them are at least smart about it. They're at least honest about it. And they don't want to say I'll never do it again. Because they want to leave that back door crack just a little bit where they can sneak out. Well, you know, I tried. I put some effort into it. But, you know, I used to work for a program. We did what was called solution-focused therapy. And I really liked it because instead of saying, I'm going to try to do this week I will try to do better at this. Solution-focused therapy would say, get rid of that crap. It would not allow a person to write a goal as "I will try." Because the idea behind it was that as long as you're just trying to do it, you're not committing yourself to making it happen. Again, you're leaving that back door cracked. So I always recommend, be honest with your kids. Admit, evaluate, where am I teaching my kid these things? And then correct it in yourself. Make the change. Okay? And then last, I always recommend, be patient with your kid. Just like they need you to be patient with them, just like they need you to be patient. Let me rephrase that. Be patient with your kid and making their changes, just like your kid, just like you need them to be patient with you. That's the bottom line. Sorry, guys, man, I was all jumbled up on that all over the place. Be patient with your kid, just like your kid needs to be patient with you. It takes time sometimes to work on these changes. So I always, 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 always recommend, be patient with your kids. They're going to do dumb stuff. So are you. That's just the way it is. Habits can be learned and habits can be unlearned. Just because your kid's doing something doesn't mean all hope is lost. Doesn't mean they're stuck doing that way forever. In most cases, all you really got to do is, instead of fixing it in them, if you can just find whatever it is you're doing to teach them, correct those things in yourself, you're going to find, in most cases, your kids are going to follow your lead. Remember, guys, the best leaders are the ones who, on the battlefield, they lead the way. They're the ones that are willing to go into the most dangerous of places long before they're willing to send somebody else to go do it. And that is, I mean, that's what the human nature responds to. Kids do as well. Kids want to follow us when we lead by a good example. When we lead by doing it first, by modeling it. So we have got to go first. I cannot tell you how many parents that I sit there like little children tell me that they think their kid should be the one to make the first move. Bull! You're the freaking parent. You're the parent. They're the kid. You are the one who's in charge. We all want to go, "Oh, yeah, well, I'm in charge because I'm the parent." But it seems like so many of them then get to the point where they've got to start making changes. And then all of a sudden, the kid needs to run. My son needs to be the first one. I'm not going to do that unless he does it. That is the poorest freaking leadership example that you can ever set as a parent. When you're asking your friggin' kid to go first when you're supposed to be the adult. Drives me nuts. We've got to be the ones that are ready to step up, make the change, and do it ourselves. So guys, I want to encourage you one last time. Take a look this week at whatever it is your kid's doing. Evaluate what's causing it. How are you teaching it to them as a parent? Well guys, that's all I have for today. As always, thank you guys for joining me for this episode of Family Podcast Network. I know this is kind of a tough one to chew on. But guys, I think it's so good. If we can take ownership for ourselves, you're going to get to watch your kids take ownership for themselves. And it's a good thing. Again, guys, this is heavy. And I know some of you connected with it. Guys, like it. Like this particular episode on Facebook or Twitter. Retweet this on Twitter, guys. Consider signing up on my Facebook page. Get on there and feel free to like me or like Family Podcast Network. Just one more way for me to stay connected with you guys. Also, consider signing up for the site. It's free. We had our first sign up. I was so excited. So excited to have our sign up on there. Thank you to Ellen Thomas for showing up on there. I sure do appreciate you getting on there. Also, guys, consider signing up for the newsletter. Many of you guys, I see you guys checking out the feeds on this. I see how many of you guys are listening per week. There's a ton of you guys. Consider signing up for the newsletter as well. Every time I update with a new podcast like this one, what you'll do is you'll get just a real small email that just says there's a new episode on Family Podcast Network, and it gives you the link to click on. It's very simple, very easy, and really, really, really quick to do. Also, guys, consider getting on the blog. Just real quick, small vignettes that I do, very similar to what we talk about here, but it's just a little thing. It's those little things that we don't necessarily have time to do a full podcast on, but they're still important. And even if you're getting all the big issues right, but you're getting a lot of the little issues wrong, those little issues can stack up and be just as big problematically in the big run. So you need to be listening to these and getting on the blog. Blog won't take you more than a few minutes to read through. as new ones are put up. Also, guys, consider getting on the forum. Again, guys, I need admins, folks that can be in there as specialties in certain areas. Why don't you get some folks that can kind of set up that network and be available and ready for questions, guys. So consider all of those things as well. Again, guys, that's all I've got for today. Remember, it's all about the relationships. Everything else pales in comparison to us building good relationships with our kids. You guys have a good day. Have a good week. We'll see you at our next podcast.